Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Danny Sheridan from USA Today, and you're talking sports with, I hate to say this, with Randy Harris.
All right, we're back to the Index here in Las Vegas as we get ready for really a crazy week. The CES is going on, UFC Fight Night 234. And as anybody who's ever listened to this show, they know some words that I don't like, which I'm going to use right now because it's fitting. I hate the word legend. I can't stand it because everybody has called it. I don't know if that was a good look or a bad look, but okay football players, okay fighters, they're called legends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's been on the show before. He is a legend, and he's on with us live for the first time. Andre Arlovsky, how are you?
I'm still alive. Thank you very much.
That's my line. That's, you know, and every day I wake up is a good day. But, you know, since you kind of said this, you've been around, you know, a few years. I believe, and I'd be willing to bet this, and I'm in the gambling capital, and I don't bet, there is no media people that cover the UFC today that was at your first fight and covered you, except for one. Yep, and that would be me. So I have been there.
November 16, 2000.
Yeah,
that's Atlantic City, Taj Mahal.
Yeah, not too long ago. Does it feel like a long time ago?
Soon as going to be UFC 300, but yeah.
Does it seem like it was that long ago?
It was yesterday. In the best case scenario, 2 days ago. But yeah.
Yeah, this is so. When he said that you were coming on, this is kind of a big thrill for me personally, because you're the reason that I follow the sport. We had a DVD VHS, I want to say UFC 50-51, when you beat Tim Sylvia with the, I was like an ankle hook
I dropped him this overhand right and the ankle lock.
Yeah. So that was the first DVD I'd ever watched of
February
UFC. February
5th, it was like the day after my birthday, yeah.
Right, and I watched it, and you see Tim Sylvia, and Tim Sylvia's a big, imposing guy, and you came in, and you were always in incredible shape, but then the fangs, and when you had long hair, I was like, who the hell is this guy? And you came
good-looking
guy. Yeah, very good-looking. But you came in, like, so the overhand right, and you dived on him quicker. They talk about people like Tom Aspinall now being so quick for a heavyweight, but you were on him so quickly. And you finished that fight, and I was completely and utterly enamored. I was like, this is a sport for me. And ever since then, so it's a privilege to sit in front of you.
Thank you very much.
And one thing I wanted to ask you, have always been throughout your career very intimidating to opponents. And I remember, I think it was Paul, is it Buontello?
Buontello.
Finished him in like 10 seconds or something.
10 seconds. The fastest knockout in the UFC heavyweight history.
Yeah. So because of your the way that you look, the fangs, all of the stuff that was amazing. Mike Tyson always used to say, "I have them beat before I get in the ring." When I saw that fight, I remember seeing, this is a UFC heavyweight. This is someone that's elite of the elite of fighters. He's used to fighting. And he looked across the ring when you got into the ring, and he looked visibly scared. And he almost couldn't hide it. It was very strange. And then you obviously took him apart. Is that something that you, is that just you? Or is that something you think, I don't know, I'm going to psych you out before I even get into a ring? How do you approach that?
I didn't think about it, but yeah, I guess so. And you're absolutely right. You're not the first person who told me about Mike Tyson. I would say syndrome, whatever it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people were scared to fight me even before they stepped inside the octagon.
Yeah, amazing.
No, I remember it. I remember it vividly. And I used to talk to people, and I know Tim very well, and, you know, we've talked about that whole, you know, you guys, and you were. And the thing that I love about this sport, and you know, at our last guest we talked about it, you know, when we first started covering it, it was cockfighting, it was this, and everybody hated it. And people didn't realize that you guys are normal people, until it's time to fight. Well, semi-normal, because you fight. You know, and looking at you, I remember it back then. I mean, people were scared to even talk to you. People were scared, which you probably liked, because it kept interviews off.
Because I never smile, and because in Russia nobody smiles. And if somebody asks how you're doing, who the fuck, it's not your business.
He said truck. He said truck.
Ah, truck. I'm sorry.
He said truck.
Yeah. And after a while, after a few years when I lived in the United States, yeah. For me, it became a normal like question, how you doing, and smile to people. Yeah, but before I didn't speak English at all and never smiled. You're absolutely right. And I guess it was some people thought I'm a jackass.
Which obviously you're not. Is it the same feeling, whether it's camp now or whether it's, you know, the week of a fight or when you're going to walk in for the last fight, because you haven't had this one yet? Is it the same feeling as it was in 2000?
Absolutely. I still have fire in my eyes, and I'm a lucky person, a lucky athlete, because I love to do what I'm doing, and my wife support me, my family support me, let me do what I love to do, my coaches with me. So yes, I still have fire, like I said, in my eyes, and this is my life.
So I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to ask Jim Miller this as well. Are the two of you waiting for the other person to retire? Like, are you waiting for Jim so that you can catch him? No,
that truck guy, two wins ahead of me. So, but I wish him nothing, like, good luck, and it's a pleasure. I still have the most wins in the heavyweight division, but yeah, definitely luck on Saturday night, and I'll do everything possible to beat my opponent as well.
You just spoke about your family there. You have a little boy.
I have two sons, and two sons. December 1st, my wife gave a birth to a little girl.
Oh, congratulations! Wow. Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Oh, hold on one sec. Can you imagine that boy in 18 to 20 years? I don't care how old you are. Can you imagine that? No, ding dong, and you answer the door.
Prom night.
That's okay, because my oldest one, he's 11. He said already he's supposed to get my permission to date someone. So I said, come on, boy, but I gave him a fist.
But so your two boys and even your daughter, if they come to you and say, do you fight so they don't have to? Or if they come to you and say, Dad, I want to do what you do, would you be happy to support them?
No.
Or would you want them away from it all?
They're not going to fight for sure, because a priori they were born like in a better position than I was, and they need to suffer, because thanks to that, thanks to UFC, thanks that I live in the United States, I gave him pretty much a lot, so
yeah,
they don't have to fight. But if somehow, definitely I'll do everything possible to support them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Not to keep bringing up my age, which would mean your age as well. When you first started, you know, this career, could you have ever thought this far into the career that you would still be where you're at, still performing the way you're at, and still being the Andrei Arlovsky that people were scared of back then?
I like, but I still scared. But anyway, yeah. You're absolutely right. I like that I'm a pioneer of MMA, of UFC, and as of today, I'm the oldest UFC fighter, and I wish to myself still doing and still going, because, like I said before, I love to what I'm doing right now. But you're absolutely right. I need to perform well and keep my fans, MMA fans, UFC fans, have them entertained. So that's only one reason. And I'm gonna still alive, and I just do what I love to do. I just.
Yeah.
This is just my life.
Have you, over the past couple of years, as MMA has really been blowing up here in the country, and I used to ask, you know, Couture and Tito and those guys, what could you vision? What could you vision MMA 10 years from now? Could you ever envisioned what it has now become?
Actually, I had an interview before you guys, and I said that I witnessed.
Yeah.
It was from years to years, you know. Now it's like mainstream sport, and and when COVID lockdown was, only one sport,
right,
was one, yeah. MMA, UFC, and people are supposed to be like super appreciate today in Hawaii, because, and of course, God bless Florida, the greatest state of the United States, state Florida, that only one state who like open like facilities for MMA, for UFC.
For sure. And I always use this reference, and I know you got something, Jimmy. You know, I would, the first event, and I mentioned it, was at UFC 11, the after party was in the ballroom. It was a cheese tray. It was three fans, a media person, and Tank Abbott. That was the after party. And now, again, you know what this has become. It's awesome. It's awesome for all of us. And we thanked, and you already mentioned Dana. Without Dana and the Fertittas doing what they did, we wouldn't have been able to do what Florida did and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's because of them that we're talking right now.
What do you, how do you, you've been such a big part of why this company is where it is. You're one of the very few that have been there, seen it, done it, achieved everything that can possibly be achieved. How do you feel about this kind of situation now with celebrities trying to fight? You know, I'm talking the Jake Pauls and this. How do you feel as someone that has been the baddest man on the planet, has been fighting and still fighting at the very top level? Do you go, listen, it's cool, it's entertainment, let them do it? Or does it annoy you that people like Jake Paul and people like that are now almost making some people would say making a mockery of the sports, or they're not taking it seriously, they don't understand the risks? How do you feel about it? Would you fight Jake Paul?
Answer, yes.
Yes.
because you know, it's not because of like sport, because of money,
sure.
Right?
Of course.
And money talks.
Yeah. I don't think he would fight you, by the way.
Five, ten years ago, nobody would like imagine to do the stuff like celebrities gonna fight. Now it's like not mainstream, but it's very popular, not only in the United States.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
They find out like what fans likes, what people wants to see. So.
Yeah.
Diaz and Masvidal gonna fight in March boxing match.
Yes.
I supposed to do the shit like.
Ship. Okay. You see my Navy ship on the computer.
Right,
I don't.
Right. I supposed to do that boxing match back in 2009 when I signed with Golden Boy promotion. I supposed to get some record in boxing and get a fight for big money with one of the brothers, Klitschko brothers.
Right.
A few years ago, McGregor first did this. Now everybody, what's his name, Ngannou, fighting Gypsy King. So it's just now like Masvidal and Diaz. So. I still pioneer in all this stuff.
Stuff.
would you box if the opportunity came along now for you to be involved necessarily with another fighter, maybe take away from the MMA to go into the celebrity boxing world, because there is a lot of money in it? Would you go in and do that?
Actually, I was the first fighter, MMA and UFC fighter, who did charity boxing match against Fresco, and it's boxer pro boxer from Chicago, from Chicago. Yeah, I did this stuff in New York. Yeah, I still the pioneer, still the first.
Yeah,
but obviously I did for free because it was charity. But now I'm under contract with UFC. I'm an employee of UFC, and we'll see what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah. Before we finish and talk about the fight on Saturday, a fan of any other sports? What teams, if in Chicago, how did you decide? White Sox, Cubs?
I would say Blackhawks. I like hockey, but my oldest one playing baseball right now. Obviously, his team not so much, but he hit two times All-Star games. So, and when I start understand baseball and know the rules baseball, now I became a fan, and I love baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball.
How does Andre relax?
Relax with now more often with kids, with my wife. We enjoy our companies, of course, because I'm a lot of time I'm gone, and. Good dinner, good wine, and the most time I spend with my kids, so shooting range.
Beautiful. Are you still pursuing other things, like, you know, obviously the movies and acting and bits and pieces? Maybe when you decide to retire, whenever that is, you know, you've done a fair bit of that kind of stuff. Is that something you could see yourself doing, or would you like to stay in the sport?
Nice. If I would be a god, I would tell you what's going to happen in the future, but I don't know what's in the near future. But you're asking about movie. I forgot when I went last time to the movie theater, but we have Netflix, we have like all the stuff, like movie theater probably not, but join the good company, good dinner, and good bottle of wine, of course, like Nike, just do it. But somehow I spent like 24 years in UFC. Want to somehow like be associate with the greatest MMA company in the world.
Yeah, okay.
And maybe not just MMA.
Maybe not.
You know.
Actually, it's funny because my manager, Ibrahim Kawa, sent me audition for Cobra Kai, some episodes. So I don't know what I'm going to do there, but actually, that's funny. You know, obviously, I'm not going to be A-list actor, but do some like
some cool stuff.
Criminals or terrorists. Not? My type of face is like perfectly fine for that.
Have you had the audition yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Because I know the guy that wrote it. He's a friend of mine.
I know the guy who stars in it.
I'm going to do.
Billy Zabka is a good friend of mine.
You would be. Oh, you'd be so good in that show. Because like, you know, it would just kill it. I'm going to speak to Aiden.
Yeah, we'll definitely make some calls.
That's amazing.
Finally, let's talk about Saturday night back in the Octagon for, I think it's like your fifth or sixth time. I know. what can the fans expect to see when the legend, and I've already said it, I hate the word because it's overused. It is not being overused. When you step back in there,
my opponent definitely is tough. He's a former baseball player, boxer, so obviously heavy hitter. And I spend a lot of time with and my boxing coaches and the wrestling coaches. So just like as usual, I have to be alert, keep my hands up, move around, and try to figure out what I'm gonna do. But like I said, you can in the heavyweight division, you can win whole fight and. The last second to get punched and fight over, so I have to be smart. Stick with my game plan.
Beautiful. Good stuff. Thank you very much for your time. We're going to get your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong and some stuff from Bucked Up Energy Drink as well.
Thank you.
And if we can get you, I know that you've been down to Florida. We can get you in the Tampa Bay area. Do you fish at all?
Yes.
If we
I
can
like
get
fish and I like shooting and I like hunting.
We can set you up a trip in the Tampa Bay area. We'll take you fishing. We'll take you. We'll do the whole nine yards. And I keep telling fighters, talk to Nobby. She'll tell you that I mean everything I say. And fighters are always like, will you really do it? All you got to do is let me know when you're coming, and we will set up everything else.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and by Elixir.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, it's George W. Bush, and you're listening to Sports with Randy Harris. Hey, this is George W. Bush, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Whatever.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Roasted Whisk Gift Box Company is an online specialty gift box company specializing in corporate gifting, creating a fun and unique gifting experience for your clients, vendors, or employees. Gift boxes could include specialty coffees or teas, mugs, espresso-infused baked goods, scented candles, and many more options. Check us out at roastedwhisk.com. Roasted Whisk on all social platforms. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my. For all of your banners, car wraps, and printing, call Compass Banners, Printing, and Wraps at 727-522-7414 for all your signage and promotional needs. Every sign tells a story. Every wrap makes a statement. Find us on Facebook. Visit our website at compassbanners.com or call 727-522-7414. Banners, Car Wraps, and Printing. Oh, my.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up Energy Drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up!
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart of World Championship Wrestling. And guess who I'm standing next to? Randy Harris. Hey, Randy, just remember one thing. Never trust a midget.
All right, we are back in the live from the Apex. And I got to be honest with you. I know you're a little giddy.
I love it.
Honestly, I am too. You know, Andre has been on before,
yeah.
But again, Andre goes back a ways. You know, what did we say it was, UFC 28?
Yeah.
You know, yes, I started at UFC 1. Yes, the first one I covered was UFC 11. Right around the corner was UFC 28.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, he was a scary figure.
He's just, like, I mean, I can't even tell you the impact that he had on me watching this sport. You know, and he's, you know, I think he'll be the first one probably wants to say he's a man of few words, but he, you know, what he's done for the sport is pretty immeasurable. I mean, you know, the fact that we're going to be here with him and then Jim Miller coming up shortly is like you're talking about guys that they're in that pioneer, you know, not necessarily pioneers because of the way they came in the sport, but what they've done for the sport, the things that they've achieved, and they just kind of seem so cool about it. I've been here, I've been here 70 times. Who cares? You know, I'm like, what?
You know what bothered me about the interview? Which I, you know, again, petrifying person, and he even said people didn't want to talk to him, A, because of the look, B, because, you know, he didn't this, you know, all that stuff, is he smirked a couple of times. He kind of chuckled a couple of times. So, you know, we'll talk more about that.
Amazing.
Matt.
I feel bad because he's such a legend, but I want to beat him. I mean, I'm a competitive guy, and it looks like we're now in competition because 2 days ago I did a screening for the Mortal Kombat, or what's it called, Karate Kid or Cobra Kai?
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, so a talent agent reached out to me and asked me if I would be available to read lines for that show, so... If it comes down to Andre Arlovski or me, I'm going with me.
Listen, I could see you being more like on the good guy side. Do you know what I mean? And he could be one of the villains. I think there's a place in this for both of them.
We could do
that. First of all, hold on a sec. First of all, I disagree. He's not. Matt would never be considered the good guy. Okay. You know, so if you really want to do this, you make Andre the good guy.
Yeah.
Which he wouldn't be the good guy either. But no, Matt, believe me, he may have you snowed. But Matt is not the good guy.
Oh,
Matt is
a great guy.
The others.
I'm telling you now.
He'd come,
see you both in it.
He would come like he used to dress. He'd have that stupid mohawk, those big red clown shoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Billy Zabka would jump the fence again and, you know, skeleton, you know, Halloween costume and beat him up. And then bring him into the Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Trendsetter is what they call it. That's what they call it. Trendsetting.
Like I said, I know the guy that wrote it, Hayden, and like I said, we're not like the best of friends or anything, but we know each other fairly well, and I can't wait to just go, listen, you've got to get this guy in, because I'm telling you, even just sitting across from him, you're afraid of him.
No, you're right.
And I think we've just stood up next to him, and I'm actually much bigger than him. Yeah. I'm probably about 80 pounds heavier than him, and I'm there, and I'm probably about 2 inches taller, and I'm literally sitting there going, oh, if he turns it on, there's not a lot you can do about it, you know. That coming through a television screen is going to be mental. So I'm going to see if I can get a little commission on his fee.
Well, put in a good word for me there, Jimmy. Put in a good
I will
word.
Do, brother. But I want free pizza for life.
Speaking of bigger than life, Tom Brady's yacht is bigger than the Titanic. It's called Viva La Vida. And when you click on the icon or the thumbnail, it expands to a picture of Shaquille O'Neal standing in front of his yacht at the time when he asked Twitter or social media, what should I name her? And the best comment was, name her Free Throw. That way you'll make sure you never sink it. It's great. The internet's a savage and undefeated and everything.
You know, and I could see Shaq naming it that.
I could. Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to the trash-talking thing. Do you think he would give one rat's you-know-what? I think he's doing okay for himself. And, you know, make fun of my free throws, but...
I watched a thing last night, actually, about Shaq, and I never really knew this. And I'm a basketball fan, but I'm certainly no expert. But he talked about his... He was playing early days in the NBA, and he was learning how to like lay up, and he was learning like to, he was just consistently drilling his threes. And his father pulled him in after the first quarter, and says, and my father slapped me across the face. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm really just trying to get my threes up." And he said, he slapped me across the face. He went, "Shaq just needs to be Shaq." And I was like, and he said, I never understood what that means. And he said, you have a certain job. You are 7'9" tall, whatever it is. Just dunk the ball. Don't worry about anything else. Plow through people like a big diesel truck. And he says, dunk the ball. Stop trying to be Michael Jordan. Stop trying to be Larry Bird, whatever it is. And he says, at that point, I was so mad at him that he was right. He said, that's why I started smashing up backboards. He said, because every time I dunked a ball, I wanted to literally just pull the thing down. And obviously, he did many a time, you know.
So, how many backboards did you pull down? That's for you, Matt.
Oh, me? Oh, I can't dunk. I mean, I mean, the only people that could dunk around my hometown were Larry Bird and Larry Bird and Larry Bird. But Jimmy, you know, Shaquille O'Neal left Miami Heat years ago. But as you were referring to earlier in the segment, there's a 10-foot, what appears to be an alien sighting at the Bayside Mall in Miami over the week. So thoughts on alien life form being spotted in Miami?
Here's a funny one. I was on a ship. I was working on a cruise ship. We were doing a show on one of the ships, and we were in the Bahamas when this happened. And it was like, I mean, we were away for that whole tornado thing, which was crazy. But we were watching the news, and this thing came up, and then of course you jump onto Twitter and you talk about this. Well, I actually have an acquaintance of mine that was there, and we were messaging back and forth on Twitter, kind of going, she said, what do you mean she was there? She said, well, I was there. She said, we'd just gone into that area for a drink, and then all hell broke loose. And she said the official thing from the statement from the police was that I think there were kids with fireworks or kids having a like a street fight or something. But she said there was literally 100 police cars, she said, out of nowhere. And she said everybody that was filming it had their, like, anyone that was close had their phones taken away from them. Wow. She said, so I don't know what's going on, but she said, I physically saw police officers taking phones off people and either deleting footage or confiscating them because people were, you know, and then arresting them because they wouldn't allow the police officers to take them.
How can they arrest them?
And she said, I don't know what was going on. She said, I was there. Oh. She said, we heard all the commotion. We came out towards where the Bayside Mall is. And she said, it was like a war zone. She said, no, I just don't know whether that happens I don't know what was going on. And she said, I'm not saying I saw aliens or anything like that. But she said something serious was going on. But she said they literally had police officers running out and taking people's phones off them. Wow. Now, why would you? I'm like, oh, my Lord. Well, we all knew it would be Florida, didn't we?
No, for sure.
We all knew
that Jerry Springer from the show.
When Armageddon was going to happen, we all knew Florida would be the porthole.
Okay.
It's your guys' fault.
Let me just throw this out for people. If this were to happen again.
Yeah.
Okay. If this was to happen again, this is what you do.
Okay.
You take the picture.
Yeah.
You send it to someone.
Yeah.
And then you delete that sending off.
Yeah.
And then that way, you still have the
proof. Someone said, listen, people go Facebook Live. I don't know whether you think about that too much in that situation, sure. But she just said, she's a really smart person, and she's lived in Miami a long time. And she just said, I'd literally just popped out for a cocktail after work. One. And she said, this whole thing happened. We all came out. And she said, me and a couple of my colleagues, we're all like, what on earth is going on? So something bigger than what was told, I think, is pretty definitely happening there. But who the hell knows? But, I mean, that's bizarre. What I will tell you is, though, if there is aliens, 7 foot, 8 foot aliens out there, and they pose a threat to them,
I'm going to go to wherever Andrei Arlovsky is, and I'm going to stand behind him, and I guarantee it'll get sorted out pretty quickly.
So
that's going to be my plan.
So, Jimmy, you said you were on the cruise ship last week, you know, in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You missed the violent storms yesterday that came through Florida. We had tornadoes touch down. One of the things that was shocking to me, you know, in sports, most teams are named after things that are just local to the region, right? It's like the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're the lightning capital of the world because we have most lightning strikes. You know, and when I moved here, I remember thinking, how come Clearwater High School in Clearwater, Florida is named the Tornadoes? You know, I was like, well, I don't think tornado. I think of Oklahoma. I think of Texas, Kansas, the Wizard of Oz, and all that. You know, but we get these water spouts that come off the Gulf. And, you know, it's a pretty big phenomenon. It's something I didn't really understand until I moved here. But any other areas or team names that you've ever been to, a city or a country, and you're the name of the local team caught you off guard where you learned something that you didn't know about that area?
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do something we normally don't do. We're going to give Jimmy 3 minutes to think about it as we hit this break and come back. We'll get his answer. And then the guy with the most fights in UFC history will be on with us after that. Jim Miller coming up after Jimmy tells us his names that he's run across when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Staff Zone, Bucked Up Energy Drink, and BioAccelerator, coming to you live from the Apex here in Las Vegas.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Young. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris, straight from Tampa Bay.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
Are you ready for the fight? Don't miss the Tampa Bay Food Fight at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino on January 30th from 6 to 9. Benefiting Metropolitan Ministries job training programs, watch live as your favorite chefs throw down in a culinary battle of the bay and feast on delicious cuisine from 50 restaurants. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster and will sell out fast. Visit TampaBayFoodFight.org for more event info.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
BioAccelerator is recognized as a global leader in cell therapy and regenerative medicine for sports and orthopedic injuries, spine and disc conditions, and chronic pain. The company has treated thousands of patients, including many UFC champions, former and current NFL players, and many everyday people like you and I.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tony Hawk, and you're talking sports with Randy.
Hello again. Hello.
All right, we are back at the Apex. Running down. God, I swear this show flies when we're here. Yep. And then to have the three guests that we've had and Jim Miller coming next. And it's been a good day.
It's been a wonderful day. It's been a lovely day. But I haven't really thought much because we've just been nattering in the break. the funny names and stuff. But I did want to bring something up, something that dawned on me that I thought I must bring this up. You know, like, do you not think it's weird that we name hurricanes?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just seems to me, whenever you see, you know, CNN or Fox News and they go, Hurricane
Jerry.
Jerry is sweeping into Florida. And you're talking about sometimes people's lives, their livelihoods, their homes. And it almost kind of like makes it kind of like seem like a jovial breeze that's about to come through and destroy a town. Because it's like hurricane. You don't name other types of
disasters.
You don't have like Earthquake Ernie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, yeah. I think that would... Yeah. Because people go, well, that would be ridiculous.
Can we go back in time and name the earthquakes? And if we could, I would like you to name the first earthquake that I ever experienced watching you perform. So what would we call it?
Oh, my God, you remember that?
I was there. Scared the crap out of me.
Do you know this, Matt? We were on stage in Vegas. Randy came to see our show at Planet Hollywood. And in the middle of the show... all of our like speaker stacks and our lighting rigs started to go crazy above our heads, and we're like, "What the hell is this?" And obviously, being sort of from where we're from, I've never experienced an earthquake before. We don't have earthquakes over that kind of Western Europe sort of area. And the next thing you know, we're in an earthquake, boys. We're in the middle of, we were singing a Desperado by the Eagles. We're doing a version of Desperado. And everybody in the audience starts panicking, and people were shouting and screaming. And the whole place was just rocking back and forth. It was quite funny because I looked down and Randy never even uncrossed his arms as everyone else is screaming and going. And he's just like, "Oh, just calm down. It'll go in a minute." And it was the most bizarre thing. We finished off the show, and I've never felt anything like it.
Yeah.
It was one of the most incredibly weird experiences of my life. But yeah, that's the last earthquake I was. The last earthquake we were in together.
That's true. You know, the funny thing, Matt, is that obviously I didn't know it was an earthquake because I've never been in one, but the whole thing shook. The lights were right above where we were sitting, and it that's wasn't right. just me. It was my wife and my daughter.
Yeah.
So it's not like I even thought we were in jeopardy or harm or whatever. I just saw the faces of everybody and freaking out, and then we later find out, this was an earthquake that hit in L.A.,
Yeah, if you remember back to the World Series, the San Francisco Giants had an earthquake during the World Series play years ago. Remember?
No, I remember.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
But according to Google, the reason that they name hurricanes after people, it started in the 1970s. It was decided to start naming storms by short names to help identify the public when there are multiple systems active at the same time. So it was a way to differentiate which storm system they're tracking.
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
But why does it matter? It's going to be, it's either, folks, today's going to be really windy or it's not. You know, whether it's the identification of it, well, you've just had one coming through. Well, there's another storm coming, so keep yourselves inside and be safe. I just don't understand by going, this is, you know, Hurricane Harry. Or Hurricane Jane.
Or couldn't you just say the first hurricane that's out in the Atlantic? Yeah. Well, you just got hit by the second hurricane from the Atlantic.
Yeah. It's just a ridiculous thing, honestly.
All right, so we need some fighters that needs to be their nickname, like Hurricane. Like, you know, Hurricane from Rocky.
Oh, we had, Reuben Carter, the very famous middleweight, you know, which incidentally is an amazing film if it's in Denzel Washington. Played the, you know, Reuben Carter? Do you know that story? Yeah. But he's the last hurricane I can remember.
I think the next hurricane will be Winston, Jameis Winston in New Orleans. And then off the air when we talked to Preston, Leonard Skinner fan.
Yeah.
We talked about Gimme Three Steps.
Yeah.
We talked about the jug, the whole nine yards. So.
Listen. Here's one for you boys, because I know that you're not a gambling man, but I love a little flutter. And Matt, kind of curious.
Okay, educate us Americans. What does flutter mean?
A flutter, you're having a bet, gamble. Okay. You have a little flutter.
Okay.
So if you have a bet, so I'm going to go in and do this before the playoffs start this weekend. Who, both of you, who's making the Super Bowl and who's winning the Super Bowl?
The Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. Okay. Who do they beat in the final?
You know, Matt, I'll let you answer in a second as well. I hate when people pick the two number one seeds. Yeah. You know, the obvious. And sure. And Matt, I'm sure, is doing the research already the last time the 2-1 seeds made it there.
Yeah.
I think if only one and San Fran's a good team too. But could this be the year with what happened, which was wrong? The Dallas Cowboys should not be the number two seed. It should be the Detroit Lions because of an awful call. Is this Dallas's year? Is this the year Dallas makes the Super Bowl and then, of course, does what Dallas does best and then loses to Baltimore?
How about you, Matt?
Well, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I like I like the idea of the Super Bowl logo uses different color schemes. Three years ago, it was the Bengals versus the Rams, the color schemes, Eagles versus Chiefs. So they're saying that it's going to be the 49ers versus the Ravens, if you believe in the controversy.
Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
I think the America's team is due. I think Dallas. Yeah, I think they need the shining star to like shine bright one more time, and I think it's a good script. So I think Cowboys might have a good shot.
So it's a good outside bet. Okay, so let's say you know you're saying the Cowboys, Randy's saying the Ravens. I might have a little flutter on both. You never know. But you go, who's the outside? Who do you think could come through and kind of surprise everybody?
Detroit.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times.
Yeah, Detroit. And again, it's a shame because Detroit should be the 2 seed, which would have been an easier route, you know, than being where they're at.
But then to get to the big game, you've got to beat.
Yeah, you've got to beat the one.
Beat, you know, so
you got to beat the 1 seed.
Yeah, so you know.
Now here, I'm going to throw something else into the loop of this. The Baltimore Ravens, in my opinion, right now the best team in football. San Fran had been for a long time. Got some players hurt. You know, they have the great White Hope and Christian McCaffrey. Baltimore blew the 49ers out just a few weeks ago. Does it happen twice in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, does San Fran adjust and do the things they need to do? But like I said, I think the easy thing is to always say the 2-1s, but I know Steve is like, yeah, go Dallas, and then I'm going to spend $8,000 and go to the game.
Yeah, basically. But you pick and choose, like you say, Cowboys shouldn't be the number two.
They shouldn't be.
But it's because of one call. And then other weeks you talk about it, you go, well, there's a full game, it's not just one call. So when you're talking about Dallas, okay, yeah, it's that one call that blew everything. It should be Detroit and everything. But other
I agree with you.
Go ahead.
No, I agree with you.
It was a whole game.
I agree that it's not one play because you had the opportunity, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it's not like they dropped the ball. The referee made the wrong call.
You're going to tell me what's in the newspaper? I know what it is.
No, I don't.
It's still one call.
That's right.
Dallas is in there. They're going to make Dallas win. I didn't even hear about the color thing, but Matt's already right. If the colors are already made for Dallas and
Miami.
Well,
no, it wasn't Dallas.
Okay.
It wasn't Miami. Okay. It was Baltimore. Thanks for tuning in. It was Baltimore and it was San Francisco, I guess, made the two colors. So are you going Dallas? Is that what you're doing, Matt?
Yeah, I'm going Dallas.
It's Dallas, Miami. Go ahead.
I don't know about Miami. I think Miami's ship. Ship. I said ship.
Yeah.
Miami's ship. Safe.
But here's the funny thing. I've heard this thing. There's always been this conspiracy theory that the route to the Super Bowl and stuff is a, it can be manufactured. And there's quite a lot of conspiracy theory out there to say.
Oh, for sure.
Because obviously, listen, in this day and age, who the hell knows? But I go, I would suggest that NFL and American football is such a difficult game to try and. There's certain games that are easier to rig,
sure,
than American football, and I've never kind of gone with that. Going that is, you're talking about 55 players, you're talking about however many coaches, backroom teams, everybody would have to be in on the
right.
on the shtick. I don't think there's any anything in that.
No, I you know me, I'm naive and all that stuff, but it could be a ref.
Yeah,
you know, I turned you off. There was an NBA ref. That was betting on games.
Sure.
And then he made sure that he won the bets. whether it was the over-under, whether it was the win, whatever, if he's, and obviously he went to prison.
Well, even still with a referee, no. You know, now that you have, now that, but now that you have the cameras everywhere, you know, is it a first down or is it not a first down? Is it a, you know?
They have cameras, Jimmy, of three Detroit Lions talking to the referee. Now, why would the offensive lineman have gone to the referee other than to either declare himself eligible or to ask, do you want to go get pizza after the game? Okay? So you're right. We don't know what was said. But why would an offensive lineman who wants to go eight steps out of his way like never, okay? Yeah. They consume and they do as little walking. Why would he go over to the ref and just say hi and not say, oh, by the way, I'm declaring?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot. People to be quiet. Steve wants to chime in here.
Well, so does Matt. So does Matt. I can hear him breathing.
Yeah, I mean. But after a controversial play like Jameis Winston, do you think he'd be under investigation for maybe betting on the game? Or, I mean,
no.
You know, because you got referees betting on games and controlling the outcomes. How come a player wouldn't get questioned after a controversial call?
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, and if you're going to bring it up, you know, did he have the over? You know, and unfortunately, it puts everybody in a bad light for that reason. And with now the NFL okay with gambling and doing their own gambling shows, and, you know, there was in the NBA, I don't know if we talked, if, you know, that was, you were on the show then, Jimmy, that they had that ridiculous tournament that was here in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And moving on into the next round sometimes depended on points.
Sure.
So Steve Kerr, I believe it was Steve Kerr that said, allegedly it was Steve Kerr that said it, just so I won't be sued, said, so let me get this right. If we're winning the game by 2 points, but we have to win by 4 points, I should, and not going to get it, or we need to win by six, I should foul the other team to let them score points to tie the game so that we can go into overtime.
Sure.
Now, what if somebody has the over?
Yeah.
Or the under? So it's opening everything up to, now people are wondering.
Yeah. What do you think, Steve?
Every NFL.
Dallas.
Yeah, it's Dallas playing Citizens, I think, week 5. Remember, every NFL game, there's three teams on the field. Okay? It's pretty easy, near the end, to start
offense,
controlling.
Offense, defense, and special teams.
No. Oh. Offense, and then defense. We're talking about one NFL team playing the other NFL team, and then the third team is the referees. It's going to be hard and is hard to fix the NFL, but the refs could do a pretty good job at the end of each game. Just like that Detroit game. The guy went in and was checking in with him. The referee stepped to the side because he was busy getting ready to turn on the microphone and talk to everybody like that. He just didn't hear it. It's only one play, Randy.
What about the time? And I don't remember what the two teams were, Matt. Maybe you do. So they went to make the call. The heads, tails?
Yeah.
He called heads. Mm-hmm. It was tails. He goes,
That was Miami Saints. Okay. I mean Tampa and Saints.
That was the bowl game we were at. That was at the Gasparilla Bowl.
I'm pretty sure this was
okay,
the NFL
game.
Okay,
happens a lot.
Yeah. So he made the right call, and he said, no, you called tails.
Yeah.
They had him on the saying heads. He goes, no, you said tails. What?
Right.
Oh, my God.
I still think it's incredibly different. I think based on the fact that there's so many people there.
No.
There's so many people involved. And maybe if it is a referee, that's maybe a different thing. But maybe there's just something I'm just going. I've heard that thing about the colours and the, you know, it's all supposedly rigged and they know exactly how many points are going to be scored in a Super Bowl. I'm like, get knotted.
I do want to say this about Saturday, UFC Fight Night 234.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and I know this is going to sound stupid, so both of you guys, hear me out. I haven't been excited for an MMA card, not even a UFC card, MMA card, which happens to be a UFC card, UFC Fight Night 234, as I am for Saturday.
Yeah.
Because it's been a couple weeks.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
I'm jonesing to watch some MMA. I'm jonesing for the, I don't know what jonesing means, but, you know, the UFC is back this weekend after, how dare they take time off?
And it's a great bill as well. But it's actually a really, really great build. Some great fights, some intriguing kind of matchups and stuff. So, and yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? When you get that,
when's the last? Is the last one just before Christmas? So they do the pay per view like usually around the 10th, 11th, 12th right. of December, and then it's that kind of month.
And then that's it. Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. We were, you know, obviously we're just speaking to the girls that run a lot of the PR here. And they're going, hey, how was your Christmas? They go, yeah, great, yeah, fantastic. But, you know, it gets to a point where we're all kind of clucking right. now to go, right, let's get back into the cycle, you know. So
you know, there's times that we're like, oh, another Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, can I just get one Saturday off, whether it's flying out here or staying up till 2 a.m. sure. or, you know, or whatever. And now, you know, and I mentioned it with Andre Orlovsky, you know, back in the day, you know, it was like every 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, back when, you know, he fought it, what was it 28 and 11 with Coleman, the first one that, you know, that I physically was at. And it's like the Super Bowl. We used to always say that it's the Super Bowl every 3 months.
Sure.
Because it's been 3 months since we saw a fight. You know, now sometimes we take it for granted, you know, just like life and everything else. We take all these fights for granted.
Yeah. And I think we are very, very lucky that, you know, ESPN, you know, TNT and BT Sport back at home, like they cover it the way that they cover it. Because I love the fact that on a Saturday, if we're not covering a fight or if I'm not away gigging, you know that at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon over here on the West Coast, you go, hey, there's that fight card on. And it might not be literally littered with superstars like a pay-per-view maybe.
Right.
But you go, ooh, and then you look down the fight card and then you go, ooh, that's going to be great. And whether it's at the Apex or whether it's in an arena, I know they're maybe going to be moving a lot of stuff away from the Apex now and moving it back more into the regional scene the roads, type of thing, you know, and I think that's going to be a great thing. But, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it greatly.
So, I mean, we talked about trash talking earlier, you know, like what's on the line or what's across the line. But have you by chance seen John Jones' Twitter comments on Tom Aspinall?
Yeah, I've been following that this week.
Just savagely talking about that it's a fake belt. How do you walk around like with this confidence that you've done something? It's an imaginary championship. It's pretty good.
I mean, I feel... I don't like interim belts, never have.
I agree.
I don't want this sport turning into boxing where you now have 8 belts for the same reason, or, you know, through the different organizations. I think there should be one champion, and that's what makes it so amazing.
I agree.
By all means have a number one contender. We all know who that person is right now. It's Tom Aspinall. He doesn't need a belt. For me personally, I didn't like...
Because that's all the belt is. Well, it's the number one contender belt.
I also didn't like them. Listen, he's a British guy, and I want him to do well, and I think he's incredible, and I think he is going to be the future of the heavyweight division. But there is a thing about... He stands there with a belt, and now people say, oh, he's the third world champion from Britain. I go, no, he's the second world champion from Britain after Bisping and Leon. And I think maybe then ego and press and media, you know, push everything out of... common sense, because then you see he made a comment about the whole John being out, and you go, and listen, he's the GOAT, he's had an incredible career, he's earned the right to get injured. Everyone wants to see him fight Aspinall, but everyone wants to see him fight Stipe too.
No, the fans are John Jones is scared.
I mean,
he's not hurt, he's scared.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Tom Aspinall is the only man on the planet that could beat him. I do genuinely believe that, but you don't get to be the GOAT and be underestimated that many times and not have so much up your sleeve. So I think it would be an intriguing fight, but at the end of the day, Stipe, as arguably the greatest heavyweight of all time right now, has the right to fight John to find out who's the greatest heavyweight of all time.
I don't know if he has the right. I don't know if he has the right. I mean, again, he hasn't fought in forever. That's the fight everybody wants.
Of course.
I get that. Nobody has the right to anything. You know,
but I think you've earned the spot. And I think what Matt was kind of saying about the Twitter arguments that went back and forth that John said to Tom Aspinall was, look, you've done nothing in the sport compared to me and the other fella. Let us do our... We've earned the right to have this moment to find out with no arguments who the best heavyweight of all time is.
But, and again, I don't want to disagree here at the Apex. Yeah. You know, I love the UFC. Yeah. At some point, it's time to move on.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
I understand John got hurt. I feel bad for Stipe.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the fight that we wanted to see last year.
Yeah.
Do we want to see it in November of this year?
Yeah.
You know, both of them are going to be out for so long.
Yeah.
You know what? I just think at some point, and no, nobody ever deserves anything. You earn what you get, and he may have earned it 2 years ago.
Yeah, I get it.
That fight's going to happen. I'm okay with it. Tom, shut up. You're not the champ. You know, you're the interim.
The funny thing is, who does Tom fight now, though? Because he'll want to be active, but who does he fight? You know, do we have Cyril Garn brought into the mix? Because he's literally wiped the floor with everybody.
For sure.
Yeah. So does he want to sit there for 18 months and get rusty?
Well, no, and not only do and I know we're running out of time, you don't want to sit there and get rusty, but you also don't want to sit there and not get paid for 18
sure,
months.
100%.
So it's not even that you're gambling on, you know, the fight.
Yeah.
It's you can't afford not to.
Sure.
I don't care how much money, you know, he may be sitting pretty, but he's putting up or giving up a lot of money, you know, to go and defend. Final thoughts, Matt?
No, not really. Just excited to, you know, like things are getting back to normal as far as the sports schedules.
Final thoughts. Do aliens exist in Miami or don't they?
Man, I gotta say something happened down there that they don't want us to know about. So I'm gonna say I'm leaning towards yes.
Yes. It's Florida. It's on
record now. We have you on record.
Big schedule coming up over the next couple of weeks. The St. Pete Boat Show, the PGA Show, Royal Rumble coming. We'll be back here for the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. Outstanding show. I want to thank our guests. Just ran out of time. Hopefully we can get Jim Miller on. He's been on before. Hopefully we can get him on again. Jimmy, as always,
thanks,
you for stopping by.
Pleasure.
Matt, I'll give you a holler in a minute.
See ya.
Until next week, see everybody.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.